everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass on this Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, the first full 24-hour day of spring. And one thing it looks like this March will certainly go into the record books as the hottest on record. It would have to get really cold to change things around, but we are really on track for a record breaker here in March. The Buckmaster Show, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. We've got worldwide live listening at my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Shelley Fishman will be along at about 12:20 today, talking about what's been going on the market. It's just not a real pretty picture. The market down about 200 points, and we'll talk to Shelley about that. But first, let's go to the state capitol. State representative from Legislative District Number 9, which is pretty much the central Tucson area. She is a Democrat, Pamela Powers Handley. This is her first session. First of all, how are you, Pam? Good to talk with you.
I'm doing great, Bill, and I really appreciate you inviting me back to your show.
Well, I'm just curious. This is the first time I've really had a chance to talk to you since you were sworn in a couple of months now, actually pushing almost 3 months with this session. How has it gone so far?
Things have been busy, of course, but it's been going well. You know, right at the beginning, Speaker of the House, J.D. Mesnard, said that he wanted to be the speaker for everybody. And things have been pretty congenial in the House and pretty sane compared to what's going on in the national level. So Democratic bills have been assigned to committee, and some of the committees have heard our bills. And some of these bills have actually passed the House of Representatives. So I'm very enthusiastic about what's going on here. Of course, you know, we do have some bad bills coming down the pike, and things are going to be heating up now. We're going to start to hear more budget bills real soon.
What do you see about what's the talk about this budget? What is it looking like?
Well, the Democrats had a budget briefing with the JLBC last week. And basically, we only have the governor's budget and our suggestions and the JLBC sort of projections. If anything that's got like an automated formula, they can sort of project what's going to be spent. What we don't have is the majority party's budget. And they're actually discussing that on video today. So maybe tomorrow I'll go and check out and see what they said about their budget. We haven't seen their budget yet. And like I said, things are going to start moving fast next week with these different budget hearings, because this week is our last week to hear committee bills.
What happened with these five bills, Pam, that were passed out of committee in an attempt to really dramatically weaken the power of the initiative and the referendum process in the state?
Yes, those all passed the House, and I believe for the most part those were joint bills. So there was a similar bill in the Senate, and so several, if not all of those, have to go to the voters, because thanks to the Voter Protection Act, Prop 105, they do have to have the voters approve to make the Citizens Initiative harder to do. Basically, all those things, they nipped away at the Citizens Initiative and at the Voter Protection Act to make it harder for the citizens to voice their opinion, and harder for the citizens to get laws passed. And so that passed the House on one of those nights that we were here in very late, and about 10 o'clock at night we were debating what a bad idea this was for the citizens of Arizona. So luckily, most of them are going to go to the ballot, and so people have to be vigilant and vote no.
You think then most will actually will go to the ballot?
Yes, they have to go. Most of them have to go to the ballot because, thanks to the Voter Protection Act, the state can't just change these laws. You know, the only way we can change a citizens initiative is if our change is in alignment with the original intent, and squelching the voice of the people is definitely not with the original intent of the Citizens Initiative. It's been in our Constitution since 1913, you know. Mm-hmm. It was something the progressives put in there, and the Democrats are fighting to keep it.
So how many could potentially be on the ballot? You could be looking at maybe four or five of these questions?
Something like that. I think that, like I said, there might be one of them that is not changing the Citizens Initiative, which might actually be signed into law. But for the most part, these are things that are going to have to go on the ballot because the citizens are going to have to choose to basically soften their voice and make it harder to get these signatures. One of those bills requires you to have a certain percentage of voters in every single county. So if one county decided just to not have any signatures collected, that would shut down the Citizens Initiative right there because you couldn't get the required signatures from that one county. So they've got some really awful suggestions out there. One of them also says, well, let's go back to the 1913 language. Well, the problem with 1913 is they actually had a typo, which would have made it impossible. So the 1913 language said you had to have a majority of the electorate. So that means the majority of people who are eligible to vote in the state have to say yes on something. Well, we never get that many people who vote, right? So it was changed at some point to say the majority of the people who voted on that day decided this issue, you know? So that's like a big deal. So there's some tricks out there.
Let's go to the live line. Jim Kelly is called. Jim, hey, you're with Pamela Powers Handley. How are you, Jim?
I am fine. Representative Handley, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about the whole process of Citizens Initiative. First off, isn't the whole point that people do the Citizens Initiatives is because the legislature themselves may not have the courage to take on a particular subject matter, particularly
that's
marijuana
true.
Laws?
Yes, that's true. And in fact, I don't know if you were around in the 90s, but the citizens of Arizona passed different marijuana laws several times in the 90s, and the legislature overturned every one of those things that we approved. And so when we had the debate, J.D. Mesnard said, well, it's the marijuana people who want to protect this, you know. But
well, and my
lots
question,
of bills.
Yeah. My follow-up question is this, is so many of the so-called Arizona Citizens Initiatives are actually financed and created out of state. So what would be wrong with limiting the ability of out-of-state groups and out-of-state money to constantly meddle with our Constitution using a Citizens Initiative?
There actually have been out-of-state groups. You know, for example, some of the more right-wing Citizens Initiatives were bankrolled by dark money groups from out-of-state. What we have now, though, because the legislature has made they've already successfully restricted the Citizens Initiative process to the point where you have to get so many signatures that it's almost impossible to get something on the ballot now without paid canvassers. If we could go back to the way the statute was maybe with the original tent where, you know, there were fewer signatures. So the citizens themselves could actually get this done. Right now, the legislature has made it very difficult for the citizens to actually do this without some kind of money to help get the paid canvassers.
All right.
But yes, outside groups, I hear what you're saying.
All right, I've only got about 2 minutes to go. A Facebook friend wondered about mandatory recess for elementary students. Didn't that get preliminary House approval? Has anything more been done about that?
It actually passed the House almost unanimously with several Republicans, including Representative Clodfelter from LD-10, saying that recess was his favorite subject. And so, but I think in the Senate there's been some reductions in this. There's been some amendments. I don't know exactly what they are. I support recess because we need to have our children out there running around. They're gaining too much weight. They have increased diabetes. They have reduced life expectancy because of their weight. So I support phys ed and I support recess, and we need to figure out a way to get those back into the schools.
All right. Quick question about education. The vouchers, school vouchers, is that going to go anywhere?
So far, it hasn't come to the House. And so the last I heard was that they were still wrangling votes in the Senate on that one. And so it hasn't gotten to us yet. And so we're keeping our fingers crossed that they can still kill that in the Senate.
All right. Pamela, thank you very much. Pamela Powers Hanley. So overall, you're having a good time, I guess, huh?
I am having a good time. I'm speaking out. I'm speaking up for the people. And so I'm glad I'm here. And like I said, I'm using my voice.
Thank you very much, Pam. Thanks. Good talking
with
you.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Up next, what's going on with the market? A very, very down day. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, will have the latest and perhaps give us some insight of what's going on and why. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, they do just a beautiful job with their tourism industry, and they strongly suggest and recommend, and I would endorse this, a three-hour road trip over to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That is the place where you'll find several dozen great recreation opportunities and great places to stay as well. Be right back.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call 5-STAR at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. 5-STAR Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts 5-STAR at 886-0045 and 5starTermite.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a conversation with Arizona Daily Star editorial writer and political cartoonist David Fitzsimmons, plus a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening, our podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And guess what? We're going to consult right now with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you? How's your day going?
My day is going fine, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing
very
well.
We're both lying, of course.
Yes, of course. When we take a look at what's going on Wall Street, it's a down day, but we haven't had one like this in quite a while. That's the good news.
Right. We haven't had anything like a serious correction now in several months. The post-election rally that we experienced kind of stalled a couple of weeks ago, and we flattened out, and the movement has been on the downside overall. And now today we're down, we're off the daily lows, but we're down about 185 points. So that's a significant pullback. It's not alarming. It's been orderly. We've talked about this mm-hmm. over the years. It's not in free fall by any means. Some of it is a result of uncertainty that has been created as a result of some of the stuff going on in Congress. The hearings yesterday in which we found out that the Trump administration is being investigated by the FBI for possible collusion in election fixing in the U.S., the aura. I think the chairman of the committee, Moniz, said that Comey had cast a gray pall on the administration, and he complained about that. Well, it is what it is. But that kind of doubt, the idea that our president could be either indicted or called to testify, and that members of his administration could be indicted and called to testify. I don't think the president could be indicted. He could be impeached. That kind of turmoil, coming along with the turmoil and the uncertainty after Angela Merkel's really unpleasant visit last week and some of the other things we've seen, then we find out that a Secretary of State is going to skip a G20 meeting or skip a NATO meeting and pay a visit to Russia instead.
Hmm.
You know, these are things that the market looks at and says, well, what's going on here and how is it going to affect the economy?
There were also some issues today, too, with some of the banks.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Some of the larger banks, some of the larger investment banks have been shorting selected pieces of the selected funnels within the economy. Believe it or not, taking a look at the financial sector and shorting some of that, we got some real pullback from Goldman Sachs and some others who have, I think, decided that this run-up has gone about as far as it's going to go and now are protecting their downsides. And that makes some sense, Bill. I mean, we've had a run-up from, 16 or 17,000 to 20, mm-hmm. 21,000 in just a few short months. And there was nothing in the fundamentals that would lead you to expect that kind of market performance. And so it was really kind of based on the anticipation that the Trump administration would be able to get through the Congress some of the things they talked about doing in terms of tax cuts for businesses, infrastructure investment, and maybe fixing the problems that they articulate with healthcare.
And you know, it's hard to say whether Wall Street would have preferred to. Well, maybe they would have preferred that the Trump administration had gone with kind of the easier of the fixes that, rather than health care, look at the tax cuts.
Clearly, there could have been or possibly still could be some bipartisan agreement on at least the business portion of the tax reform that they're talking about. And the whole idea that incorporated into that cut from 35% down to whatever the number they settle on, say 20%, would include some incentives to repatriate money that's sitting on the sidelines overseas. You know, there's $1 trillion or thereabouts sitting in the U.S. economy today in corporations' balance sheets that has not been invested because there is not a lot of demand. But if you bring another trillion back, it's very hard for corporations to resist the idea that we have low interest rates and a lot of cash in the coffers and an administration very favorable to reinvestment in the United States. So I think the feeling was, well, that could cause some really good performance in our equity markets and in the economy in general, especially if some of that money that's being repatriated could be repatriated and then used to or rechanneled to infrastructure investment. Those kinds of things would be very, very stimulative, and I think that's what this rally was really about.
I think so, too. And when you look at what's going on with the politics around the health care, and I just think this whole feeling, like you were articulating, that this uncertainty has now gotten to the point that the market's kind of doing what they call a timeout.
This is exactly that. It's a timeout.
And
it has been that for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, we're only into week 9 of this administration.
Yeah, 60 days,
yeah,
basically.
So let's see what happens. I think the House is supposed to take a vote on the health care reform on Thursday. So far, the belief is that it's dead in the Senate, but there would be some reconciliation work to see if they can salvage parts of it. But it has put off some of the other initiatives that the president had promised would happen early in the administration, and we'll have to see. I think that that the market, when the market takes a pause like this and then starts reshuffling things within the mix of industries, that's healthy. And so long as we don't see 400 or 500 point drops in a day that are not orderly and not under control, I think this is just fine. I think investors should be talking to their advisors, finding out what the implications are, making sure that their portfolios are reacting properly and that their allocations are appropriate, so that on a day like today when equities go down but bonds hold on.
That's kind of the way it's supposed
to
be.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. And so a good balance in your portfolio, you know, allows you to come away from a day like today, you know, and tomorrow morning when it gets posted in your account and you take a look, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Right. Because it was mitigated somewhat by your exposure to bonds. And this would be a good time to talk to your financial advisor, if you haven't done so, into this new year. Well, we're 3 months into it's not really necessarily in much of a new year already.
Certainly, advisor, if you haven't had a meeting with your advisor between the last quarter of last year and the first quarter of this one, you should.
It's due.
But even, you know, you schedule normal reviews with your advisor. You should be doing that.
Right.
But when you have things like this happening in the market, you should have no hesitation about getting on the phone and calling him or her up and saying, hey, what's up and how am I affected and do we need to do anything? Do we need to worry about this? That person is being paid handsomely by you.
Right.
And therefore, you should not in any way feel shy about calling that person and saying, hey, what's up?
The person is working for you. And so make sure you take advantage of the relationship by keeping in touch. And that's what Shelley Fishman certainly likes to do with all of his clients, then available to them and available to anyone who would like to inquire about Shelley's services.
That's absolutely right. And the best way to do it, I think the most convenient way, is just go to the Buckmaster site and hit the hyperlink.
BuckmasterShow.com. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Tucson's voice, AM 1030, and worldwide listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Hey, it's going to be a great weekend, going to cool off a little bit, so gardening certainly would be a great choice this weekend to get out in the backyard and get all the supplies you need and the beautiful things that you need to plant in your garden at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They're located just west of the intersection of Dodge and River. They are just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com and check out their free workshops that they have every week. Some great gardening information. Once a month, we like to check in with one of our contributors. Have 24 contributors here on the Buckmaster Show. These are experts in their fields. Keith Rosenblum is our expert on the border. He writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I continue to be a keen observer of all things on the border.
Yes, indeed, including
not a single action. No, it's 2,000 miles, and a lot of people say to me, Keith, how do you maintain being a keen observer of all those miles of border? I just say that's what happens after 30 years of roaming mindlessly on both sides.
You're like Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. You are everywhere. So how is security these days getting into this country?
It's exaggerated, actually. I've come through 3 or 4 times the last week, and it's actually a smooth process. It's no, I still think that our CBP tends to ask too many questions. I think the idea that you could have your phone and your computer, your any electronic things taken for essentially no reason, I find that to be way intrusive. There have been wonderful pieces in the New York Times, Washington Post and CNN about what the rights are of either Border Patrol or CBP people to go through things. And I still have this view, it's a Ted Koppel view actually from about 10 years ago, that I'll take a little more terrorism and a little less restriction on freedom, on civil rights. So I find the process to be still on the demeaning side and a little bit heavy-handed, but it functions. And I think that if you were to do a series of shows from Hermosillo or from Obregón or from Mexico City, I think a lot of the issues that you bring up would almost just take care of themselves. I think you'd find a remarkable, and now that half of Mexico speaks Spanish, almost an unaccented Spanish, or I'm sorry, if you speak English, sorry about that, you'd find how much we all have in common. This is and how much our economies depend on one another, and how much we have family on both sides, student exchanges. It's remarkable to me that we still talk almost in an us and them fashion when we're talking about Mexico. I could see having that conversation about people in Rwanda or people in Albania or Belgium, but we're so tied together and the economy is so interdependent, and this is the Trump presidency has just thrown a remarkable wrench into so much that happens in Mexico. And again, I don't want to come across as an apologist for either side, but that's where we live today.
Yeah, it's interesting. As the president's approval ratings continue to go below 40%, on the other side of the border, the president of Mexico, he certainly can sympathize with low approval ratings, but he is now getting a little bit of a boost, hasn't he, lately?
Well, I don't know. I don't find much joy or solace in approval ratings that are in the 20s or 30s or 40s anyway. Approval ratings should be, by definition, they should be in the 60s or 70s or 80s. You should have someone that you elected and be proud of him, and even if you don't agree with him, believe that he's doing the right thing out of conscience. When I worked for Jim Colby, Jim would sometimes say that he had to vote the district. Sometimes it was votes of conscience. Sometimes you take each of those things into account when you lead a community. You draw in a little bit of everything. I think that both what happened in the United States, which was a real rejection of the party system at one time, to have both Sanders and Trump as the front runners, demonstration that really what was happening was that we were saying no to the two-party system or no to the parties themselves. And that's exactly what's happening right now in Mexico. There's a rejection of party politics at every turn, so that the last three or I think it was the last four presidents of Mexico called their own folks. Now Peña Nieto, and who am I omitting? I'll think of who I'm omitting in a second. I'm blanking. But anyway, that none of them was elected with more than 35 or 37% of the vote. Hmm. And then on top of that, they have Congresses or Senates that are just as divided against their president's party as we have done in the past. And then that, my guess is what will happen in two years from now in the U.S. We like to have, even though we don't say, we like to have gridlock government. We like to have opposition. But I think we do that the way of saying, don't think to our the people who are governing us, don't think that we're going to give you such a broad mandate. We actually like the idea of some congestion.
I like the idea that in Mexico you elect a president for just one term, and it's a six-year term. I think that's a great idea.
You know, it's a cool concept. And what's interesting is that they're actually going to, at a lot of the local levels, I don't know about governor, but I know at a lot of the local levels, they're allowing re-election. If you look at Mexican official stationery, on the bottom of it, it says sufragio efectivo y no reelección, which is effective suffrage or effective voting and no re-election. And this is a remnant from the revolution. You don't want the same people just swapping job titles and going or continuing on. But the Mexicans have decided that the time for that is up, and the re-election actually might make some sense, at least at the municipal and state levels. It actually means that you have a governing people who have to go back to their constituents every couple of years.
So they were way ahead of their time with term limits down there.
I think they had a slightly different model. They had, I think it was 1% of the population owning 90% of the arable land and 95% of the wealth. They had slightly different reasons for not wanting their governors to be reelected. But apropos of that, there was something that I wanted to add. As you said, the question of election. Well, it'll occur to me in a second. What you have is a country very divided, and if President Trump has done anything, it's to unite the country both via the party system and also through the articulate the people who have stood up and said that it ain't right. And that's where the country stands today. And by the way, the economy is great. In the midst of all this, the economy is actually continuing to do splendid.
The Mexican economy is doing very well, you're saying.
Yeah, it is, and I think that we realize just how you can't just declare one day buy American and hire American, and we're going to start slapping quotas on this or that product. You wind up, it was remarkable to me in President Trump's speech a couple weeks ago to hear the Congress applauding all these lines that would then wind up costing their constituents, number one, the ability to trade or to go to Mexico for many reasons. And then also to, basically would come back with really serious repercussions for their constituents. And what you have in a lot of ways is the U.S. divided not so much by parties, Bill, but also by jurisdiction. So Republicans and Democrats, for example, in the border area, their livelihoods will depend equally on trade with Mexico. Mm-hmm. And in the northern part of the U.S., the Democrats are equally might favor penalties to keep jobs from fleeing to Mexico, which is a kind of a false premise anyway, because jobs are going to flee. They might flee to Mexico, but they might just as easily flee to Belize or somewhere in the Orient.
Yeah, to Bangladesh, perhaps. All right, Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Where are you
Thanks
now?
For having me on.
Are you in Mexico?
Actually, no, this is one of those rarities where actually I'm talking to you from 22nd and Swan. How's that?
Okay. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate
it. My pleasure.
All right, Keith Rosenblum. We like to check in with him at least once a month for his take, the international take here on the Buckmaster Show on the border. We have the arts take next. Some really exciting things happening at our museum, the Tucson Museum of Art. A huge renovation is on tap. We're going to find out about that in our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report right after the break.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, that is the Fox Tucson Theater, in celebration of the Fox's 87th birthday. Fox Tucson Theater will present the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinematic Treasure, The Sound of Music, Sunday, April the 9th at 2 in the afternoon. Then Saturday, the 15th of April, the Fox presents Bookends, Simon and Garfunkel, Through the Years. A couple of shows are already sold out. Vince Gill concert on April 2nd and Morrissey on April the 10th. Sold out shows, so don't hesitate another moment to purchase tickets to some of these great upcoming shows. There's Gary Plunkett in the Union Gap with the Vogues and more. That's April the 8th. The Taj Express, the 17th. Comedy for Charity presents Tony Blaze, Thanks for Serving, April 23rd, and the Doo-Wop Project on April 28th. For tickets and more information, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the chief curator of the Tucson Museum of Art, Julie Sassy, is with us. Julie, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Very, very busy time for the Tucson Museum of Art. Announcement has been made of a major renovation. You've been with the museum many years. This will probably be one of the biggest in the history of the museum.
It really is. And the renovations, the changes that are going to happen are going to make for a wonderful new museum, great programs that will go along with it. And all of this has been made possible by wonderful new generous donations that have just come in. Two of our galleries are going to be newly named the James J. and Louise R. Glasser Gallery, and we're really excited about that. The changes that are going to happen is that our current museum store space will be converted into a new feature exhibition area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And then the museum store will move into the historic Fish Nye House. And
uh-huh.
So it will be closer to the cafe, so it'll uh-huh. be a nicer experience.
Well, it's
a
nice flow. So you'll walk into the museum, and right there at the entrance, you're going to have some new exhibit space.
Absolutely. And it should make for a real dynamic visitor experience when you come into the main lobby to see this different flow happening. So we're really excited about that. And then the other thing that will happen is that the whole lower level of the museum will be devoted for exhibitions that stay up for a three-year period.
Really?
And
that is a departure.
You bet. But we think that the selections that we have out are going to be such that people will come back time and time again.
Hmm.
And they'll be from the permanent collection for the most part.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Can you give us some ideas? What kind of items will be on display?
Well, we're starting with what we think are our top selections.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the wonderful Marsden Hartleys will come back out. Our Arthur Dove, which stands up to any of the doves in any of the collections across the country. We're going to be certainly looking more to diversity. We will be returning our Luis Cruz Azaceta out in our wonderfully new named Contemporary Art Society Joyce Brone Gallery of Contemporary Art. Many of the wonderful purchases that the Contemporary Art Society has done for the museum will be on view. So our new Gregory Crudson, a brand new James Drake. It's going to be really fun to see all these wonderful pieces out at the same time.
It's really wonderful to see these patrons of the arts and the Tucson Museum of Art, like the Glassers, who have really, Julie, have a long history of philanthropy, not just here in Tucson, but in my native Chicago. They've been very active giving to the Art Institute of Chicago. And it's really wonderful to see these folks really stepping up with these naming opportunities. And it's going to, when this renovation debuts in the fall, it's going to really give a whole new feel to the museum.
Absolutely. Frank and Jean Hamilton have donated for a gallery of Western art. Mary Jo Brown has donated for another naming opportunity. All of these people just show their tremendous dedication and support of the museum. And it's sort of generated a newfound confidence and excitement in the staff and in the people who are members. It's a very exciting time.
And the new leader, Jeremy, has brought tremendous energy. We've had the new TMA CEO, Jeremy, on the program. You notice I said just Jeremy, his last name. I would need to carry around
it's
a little car.
It's almost easier just to say Jeremy.
Yes, Jeremy.
It's Mikolajczak.
Mikolajczak. He's done just a great job, and he's brought a lot of energy and kind of revitalizing what's going on at TMA. There's a great show right now going on at TMA.
We have gotten tremendous response for this show. It's called Body Language and Figuration in Modern and Contemporary Art. And people have said over and over again, this is as good as any exhibition we've seen across the country. So I'm thrilled because it's primarily from our permanent collection. And it, as always with my interest in art, blends some of the biggest names internationally that you can find, but also some of the top regional artists. And it's all about the idea of the body as a kind of language. So you're seeing things instead of the typical academic pose where it's sort of frozen like mm-hmm. it's for a portrait. It's bodies in motion, bodies in the everyday experience, bodies in the act of dancing or arguing or just living life. So it's really quite varied and wonderful to see.
There are great opportunities not only for membership, but there are members only events throughout mm-hmm. the year. There are also opportunities for everyone to come. Isn't there a free day a month?
Yes. We have first Thursdays where it's free, and mm-hmm. the programs now are great, but next year it's going to be tremendous because they're very event-oriented now, mm-hmm. and we also have second Sundays, which is a family-oriented program. But tomorrow night we're partnering with the Tucson Cine Mexico to bring in the film director Maria Jose Cuevas from Mexico City as part of their film series, but she'll be speaking about her new project called La Bellas de Noche, the showgirls, basically the beautiful women of the night. And so it's going to be really fun to hear about how she put together this amazing documentary. She's won lots of awards.
Is this open then to the public?
This is open. Event? I think it's with a museum admission, but it's pretty standard. And we expect a huge crowd, so it starts at 6 o'clock. Definitely come early. But we love these partnerships with the community.
So how is this going to work now, Julie, this this renovation, this upheaval? Will the museum stay open through all of this, or what's the chronology going to be?
Well, you know, we have summer camps, so we definitely are open. We just need to be a little flexible about what areas are closed while we're doing the renovation. There's a lot of construction and walls to be built and painting, et cetera. But what we will have is the Corbett House will be open, and different areas of the historic properties will be open and available. But we will start the big demolition and construction after July 9th when the feature shows come down.
And for those who have not been to the museum, perhaps we have people who are here only on a seasonal basis, come down, check it out. What would you say the Tucson Museum of Art is especially, what areas is TMA especially strong in, Julie Sassy?
Well, I have been working very hard on the reinstallation of the Latin American folk art area. That's certainly one of our strengths. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure that so many of these wonderful collections that we've acquired over the years will get some wonderful airplay. But I think it's a little bit of everything. It's the art
very
of the American
eclectic.
West, you bet,
yes.
And Native American art. Now we're getting more and more pieces. So I think there's a little bit of everything, and it's not encyclopedic, but mm-hmm. something for everyone mm-hmm. to appreciate and enjoy. And we'll be putting out our best selections from our Asian collection in the fall as well.
Oh,
so
great.
Lots of great things happening.
So, and again, to summarize, so the lower level, there'll be three galleries with pretty much three-year semi-kind of permanent installation.
No, even more. We have another gallery, the Sandy Maxfield Gallery, which will be Art of the Southwest, which we have not had before.
Wow.
We will also have selections from the Kasser Moshari collection staying up, and those are still from the foundation, mm-hmm. but that will still be available. And then we are going to have a new gallery designated for photography. So all of this is very exciting. And
very exciting stuff. And where the gift shop, that area will be different traveling exhibitions for that.
Or in-house curated.
In-house.
So Howard Post retrospective coming up next spring, and I'm doing an exhibition called Dress Matters.
Oh.
Clothing is Metaphor, so I'm very excited about that one.
Julie Sassy, ever so busy, and that's a good thing. Julie's the chief curator at Tucson Museum of Art. Thanks for the update.
Happy to be here.
Thank you very much. The Arts Report here on Buckmaster is sponsored by some of our favorite people, along with the Tucson Museum of Art. We love Fox Tucson Theater. I am so glad the Fox is doing so well. The celebration of their 87th birthday. They have a great event coming up. The Sound of Music. I mean, that's just such a terrific cinematic effort on Sunday, April the 9th at 2 in the afternoon. Bookends, Simon and Garfunkel Through the Years, live on stage, April the 15th. The Doo-Wop Project, that's going to be fun, April the 28th. Probably the best way to figure out what show you would like to see. And by the way, Vince Gill, that concert April 2nd, and Morrissey April 10th are sold out. But the best way, go to the website, foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, we do more local talk. Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen from 4 to 5. Then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9 in the morning, talking culture from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back tomorrow. Should be an interesting show. David Fitzsimmons will be my guest for a half an hour. Fitz is going to be here from 12:30 to 1, and I've got Steve Kasachek from noon to 12:30. So very full lineup as usual. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.